Chapter 28. Everything else I'd ever done, everything I've ever been, was erased in an instant. Leia struggled to find the words. People who had fought beside me in the war, or served beside me for years in the Senate, they didn't even see me as myself any longer. All I'll ever be to them now is Darth Vader's daughter. Han snuggled her closer against his chest as they lay together in their bed on Hosnian Prime. Moonlight slanted through the bedroom window, but paler now as dawn approached. Leia rested her head on his shoulder and shut her eyes, taking comfort in the tenderness with which he kissed her forehead.
"It's not gonna be like that forever," he murmured. "Not for everyone. Sooner or later, they'll remember who you are."
"For the people closest to me, maybe." Ty Lin had come through for her, and despite Varish's awkwardness, she had defended Leia from the start. Greer and even young Joff Seastriker had come around within a day or two. A handful of others were likely to follow. A few people from her past, including Akbar, Nine Num, and Lando, had messaged or sent holos that showed their compassion and loyalty. Mon Mothma's message even hinted that she'd suspected for a long while, which meant she'd never allowed it to prejudice their relationship. Leia knew now who her truest friends were, and she would never forget it. But to the galaxy at large? Everything else is gone.
"Then to hell with the galaxy at large."
Typical Han. "It just hurts, that's all. The rumors, the anger, the sense of disgrace for something I couldn't help. Even the man who outed me to the Senate, Ransom Casterfo, we'd been working together on the Rin Riven Dai investigation for months, and I honestly believed we'd become good friends. Yet as soon as he heard the truth about Vader, he betrayed me."
"The guy sounds like a jerk."
"I wish it were that simple." Leia would have been able to get over that wound more quickly if she could believe Ransom had truly been unworthy of any respect. "He's a decent man, mostly. A decent politician, which is rarer. But he hates Darth Vader, and that's reason enough for him to hate me."
"Forget that Casterfo loser, will ya?"
Han stroked her hair, which spread across her pillow off the far edge of the bed.
"Look at it like this. You wanted out of the Senate anyway. Now you've got your chance. Once your term's up, you're free. You can spend some time flying around with an old scoundrel for a change."
"Han, that sounds like paradise." But she couldn't set aside all her worries so easily. "Has it been bad for you? When the sublight relays ended and you came out to realize they knew my secret..."
"Everyone assumed I must have had no idea who I'd married. I made it clear that I'd known from the start, that I don't give a damn, and anybody with any sense wouldn't care either. Nobody's been fool enough to bring up the subject twice."
One of the best things about Han was that he boiled everything down to the essentials and disregarded the rest. Sometimes he simplified things too much, but mostly he helped her center on what really mattered. He'd calmed her down about Ben, more or less, but even Han could only take her so far. Even as Leia tried to push her doubts away, others crept in to take their place. "I only hope I can get someone to listen to what we discovered on Sibensko."
"What do you mean, hope? You've got all the info right there with Goldenrod, right?"
"Yes, I do. And I intend to share the data with the few political allies I have left. But what we've learned about the rise of this paramilitary group and their role in the napkin bombing, that requires action by the full Senate. I doubt I can make that happen." Han rubbed her shoulder.
"Hey, come on. Once they hear the whole story, they'll have to do something. Or is the Senate even more useless than I thought?"
Once, Leia would have argued with him about the Senate having no real purpose. That seemed like so long ago. "Oh, they're useless, all right. But you don't understand. Even to speak on the Senate floor, a quorum of senators has to decide that you and your topic are worth hearing. Normally, it's not an issue because the quorum is set at such a low number." She shook her head sadly. "I won't even be able to muster that. Not any longer."
"I'm sorry.
His thumb brushed her shoulder.
At least you took those guys out. Rin Riven Dai, the Amaxine Warriors. They're history.
Maybe. But we can't afford to assume there aren't more groups like the Amaxine Warriors. And they may still have facilities on Daxam 4.
Hey, just now, for tonight, let it go. Not even you can save the whole galaxy before breakfast.
Han smiled gently.
You take too much on yourself. Always have. And you've been through too much lately. So let someone else take care of you for a little while.
She felt some of the tension drain away from her. Do you have any idea how much I love you?
Yeah, I'd say I have a pretty good idea.
Leia mock punched him in the arm and Han chuckled.
Come on, you know I love you too.
Yes, she said as she tilted her mouth up for a kiss. I know. Across the capital city of Hosnian Prime, in a far more luxurious home, a much less affectionate conversation was being held via holo.
Be patient.
Arlys Hadrasian's dark eyes blazed with fury so powerful it seared even through the hologram.
My Amaxine warriors are decimated, most of my best fighters killed, our ships destroyed, and you can only tell me to be patient?
Lady Carice, still in the silk dressing gown she'd been wearing when Hadrasian called in the dead of night, snapped back,
Exactly, because it was your impatience that led to this in the first place.
No, it was your inaction. The centrists' refusal to stand up and declare themselves separate from the weak, sniveling New Republic.
The time isn't right yet. If you were any kind of politician, you'd know that.
If you were any kind of warrior, you wouldn't be willing to wait for the perfect sunny day. You would take a chance.
Well, you took one. You set off a bomb in the Senate to create confusion, and instead sowed suspicion.
Lady Carice reached for her cup of caff, which she badly needed.
Maybe your warriors weren't the ones we needed after all.
Hadrasian's expression shifted from anger to astonishment.
You're abandoning us?
Coolly, Lady Carice responded, It doesn't sound like there's much left to abandon.
Leia or Ghana, it can have been no other. You will at least avenge my men and eliminate her.
See, there you go, making it personal when it's political. Leia Organa might well have been the one who destroyed Sibensko, but I neither know nor care. If we're able to use the incident against her to have her thrown out of the Senate, fine. But at this point, it's more trouble than it's worth. Politically, she's powerless. She'll never have any more authority. That eliminates her as a threat, and her fate after this is irrelevant. If you were thinking strategically, you'd turn your attention to whoever's likely to lead the populists next. Keep them confused, off balance. Aren't soldiers supposed to rely on strategy?
Hadrasian's smile could be more ominous than her frown.
You will have greater need of soldiers someday. When that day comes, you'll regret what you have done to us. And that day is coming soon.
The hollow faded out. Lady Carice eased back on her sofa, took a sip of caff, and grimaced when she realized it had turned cold. Maybe it was just as well the Amaxines would no longer be an issue. Hadrasian and her militia had always been too much of a rogue element to fit into the centrists' plans for the future. When the First Order emerged, they would want to establish the new law, not create chaos. Besides, the Amaxines had already served a useful purpose, one that eclipsed what little good they might have done as an advance guard for the First Order. They had served as a critical distraction when it was needed most. Now that the Amaxine warriors had taken the fall as Rin Riven Dai's funders and partners, no one would look any farther into his finances and trace that money beyond backwater planets to the very heart of the First Order itself. Even now, the riches earned through the smuggling and gambling interests of Rinriven's cartel were helping to refit and rearm the former Imperial fleet, bringing them back to their full power and glory, so that they would be once again ready to conquer. Oh, there were details she didn't know. Secrets that hadn't yet been shared with her. But she understood how to interpret shadows. Like, for instance, the disappearance of Brendel Hux, her Homeworld Academy's commandant, after the Battle of Jakku. Some said he had only given up, as if such a hero of the Empire would surrender so abjectly. So many people lacked faith. But those who still believed, they were the ones who would resurrect the greatest power the galaxy had ever known. When Lady Carice first got Hadrassian's angry, desperate call, passing on the word from the few survivors of what had happened to Sibensko, it had seemed like a nuisance. Now she realized it was a blessing. Of course, if Princess Leia was able to share more of her suspicions, trouble could still arise. But the princess would never get to address the Senate again. Ransom had gone to Senator Erudo Ro Kinter's meeting on military appropriations in the hope that he might be asked to join one of the relevant committees soon. As much as he despised the reason for his recent rise in power amid the centrist faction, Ransom did not intend to waste the opportunities that the rise had given him. Surely, that was the best way to atone for what he'd done. He had been right to report the truth. Ransom still believed that. But now that he'd had time to process the information, he believed he should have gone about it entirely differently. Princess Leia had hidden the secret that she was Vader's daughter from him, which had damaged his trust in her forever. But even if she had not dealt with him honestly, she had dealt with him fairly. The revelation affected not only her, but also her son, her brother, and her husband. Sporting broadcasts that morning had been abuzz with the information that Captain Solo had left the Theron system after the end of the last Sabres round, and rumors abounded as to when or whether he would return for the final championship race. Ransom should have contacted Leia, let her know what he'd discovered, and given her a chance to reveal the truth herself. She'd deserved that much. Besides, Ransom had also had the opportunity to ask himself why Lady Carice Sindian had come to him with the information. She had claimed that her sensibilities as a member of the Elder Houses kept her from speaking out, but who took the Elder Houses seriously any longer? Most of the current members saw it as nothing more than a genealogical resource and an excuse for the occasional gala. And Lady Carice could have gone to any member of the Senate with the truth about Leia's paternity. The only reason for her to choose Ransom was his partnership with Leia, his trust in her. He did not deceive himself that Lady Carice had done it for his own good. No, she had intended to manipulate him. The only question was why. And he did not intend to be manipulated again.
"Forgive me, Senator Ro Kinter," he interjected, "but the scale of the appropriations bill seems far in excess of what can possibly be required. The New Republic already maintains a sizable military force for a government largely at peace."
Senator Ro Kinter folded his hands together, palm to palm, fingertip to fingertip.
"The armies we have now are adequate to the concerns we have now. But we must prepare for future conflicts."
"With whom? The New Republic comprises the majority of worlds in our galaxy. Only small, disconnected sectors stand apart, and few of those represent any military threat whatsoever. None of them shows any sign of declaring war."
"The New Republic is made up of separate systems," Senator Ro Kinter replied. "Separate worlds. We haven't supported their individual planetary defenses nearly enough."
This old canard. With difficulty, Ransom kept himself from groaning. The far right wing of the centrist faction never quit harping on this, in the apparent belief that the lowliest moon needed enough firepower to take out a superstar destroyer on its own.
They managed to be even more annoying than the far left wing, which pushed for government control of the smallest minutiae of personal and political interaction. Ransom privately figured Senator Ro Quintor looked at the armaments bill primarily as a way to funnel governmental money to centrist planets, for whom the largest share of funds was earmarked. He said, "We can supply extra funds for planetary defense without it costing anything like the amounts you've set out here. This appropriations bill could only be justified if the New Republic were facing imminent, galaxy-wide war." A brief silence followed, during which Ransom wondered if he'd gone too far. But then one of Senator Ro Quintor's staffers laughed under his breath. When both of the senators turned to look at him, the man said, "I couldn't help it. Believe it or not, Leia Organa is trying to address the Senate again."
"She's back from Sibensko, and she's learned something valuable."
Ransom felt an unwilling flash of excitement. He'd done the right thing then by not reporting on the mission. He distrusted Rinriven Dai and the Amaxine warriors far more than he distrusted Leia, which was something he hadn't consciously realized until that moment.
"Pathetic," Senator Ro Quintor sniffed. "She can't possibly get a quorum to grant her the floor."
The staffer's grin was smug.
"I admit she came closer than I thought she would, but it's more poetic this way. She fell short by one vote. Precisely one. All the populists and independents already voted, so that's it for her."
Senator Ro Quintor shook his head as if in disgust. As he walked back to his own office, Ransom reviewed everything he knew about the investigation. He remembered his own battle against the Amaxines in the desert, Joff's daredevil X-Wing piloting, Greer bringing the courier down to Daxam 4, and Leia gambling in the casino, firing at their pursuers in the Bastatha Caves, helping analyze all the data, and finally at the Hanging Gardens, speaking about the torture she had suffered at the hands of her own father. He still did not know whether he could trust her, but he understood at last that she had trusted him. When he entered his office suite, his assistant handed over a data pad immediately. "Issues on tomorrow's order of business in the Senate for your votes, sir." At the top of the list was Leia's request for a hearing. It remained one vote short. Ransom pressed down on yes. "You're kidding," Leia said as she sank into her desk chair. Greer shook her head.
"You just cleared it. Casterfo's vote put you over the edge."
Was that his way of saying he was sorry? Or did he just want to hear what finally happened? This might be no more than the ending to a dramatic story for him. Leia decided she didn't care. She had her hearing, and nothing else mattered. She had spent the day in some suspense, wondering if the word of what had happened on Sibensko had gotten out, how firmly she had been tied to it, and whether her enemies in the Senate intended to use this breach of authority against her. Surely people were ready to pounce on Vader's daughter. But nothing surfaced. No one spoke of it. Leia would be able to present her own report first, with what evidence they had been able to salvage.
"See? I told you things would turn around,"
Han said that evening as they dined at home. "I don't think Ransom's starting a trend," she said dryly, as she tried to eat her dinner without getting it all over herself. Han had brought back Bill Bringy food, cheesy meat pies with peppers. She liked Bill Bringy, though not quite as much as he did. Tonight, though, it hit the spot. Maybe she shouldn't be so worried about making messes. Han, who could eat these things in the cockpit while flying, deftly rewrapped his own pie.
"Well, don't worry. You don't have to deal with this alone, all right? I'm willing to be here as long as you need me."
Willing. That one word said so much. Leia didn't doubt Han's love for her, but she also knew that he would always be a wanderer at heart. He would stay with her on Hosnian Prime for a year or more if she asked, but she would feel as if she'd clipped a bird's wings. She set down her food. "Han, it's all right. We both know you want to get back to the Sabres."
"It's just a race, sweetheart."
Yeah, but this mess I'm in, it shouldn't wreck your life, too. Besides, she added wryly, I think the galaxy would forgive me for being Vader's daughter faster than they'd forgive me for postponing the hyperspace championship round of the Five Sabers. Han shook his head in wonder.
You can still surprise me.
The worst is over, Leia said, trying to convince both Han and herself. I'll be fine. Simply knowing he'd soon be back in his ship, flying free, had brightened Han's mood.
I gotta admit, I wouldn't have known what to do with all that political mumbo-jumbo anyway. Fighting with blasters is fairer, and if you ask me, it probably causes a whole lot less damage.
She sighed in fond exasperation. Some things never change. His expression grew more serious, and he reached across the table to take her hand.
That's right, he said. Some things will always be the same.
Is that a promise?
You better believe it.